Welcome to the Unconquered Podcast.
In Florida State, we won national championships and ACC championships.
Back to some basics, consistency in what we're doing. Guys getting a little banged and bruised, working a bunch of different situations, making progress.
You have to have success so you know something I can really do this.
Welcome back to the Unconquered Podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Jason Staples. Lots of things to talk about today as we look back at yet another painful loss for Florida State. This time, a last-second loss to North Carolina on a 54-yard kick that narrowly made it through the uprights and over the crossbar. And what's remarkable to me is given the response to things at this point, how different things might be in terms of perception had North Carolina missed that kick. Gotta wonder whether or not Florida State would still be considered to be in the playoff discussion, whether Florida State fans would be basically declaring that the entire staff, some of whom are including Jimbo Fisher in this discussion, needs to take themselves away and get over to LSU or wherever. It's really interesting how it's striking how small the margins can be in college football. But in any case, both teams desperately tried to give this game away. This was not a well-played game. This was a sloppy game on both sides of the ball. UNC probably left 19 points on the board. Not to mention, I guess if you include, that's if you include a completely idiotic punt block attempt when Florida State had fourth and a mile, and you've got probably the best punt returner in the country back there in Ryan Switzer, and you'd try to bring a punt block in and rough the punter. It's just unbelievable how North Carolina went out of their way seemingly to give Florida State a chance to get back into this game. I mean, North Carolina could have blown Florida State out had they taken advantage of the opportunities early in the game that Florida State gave them. And that brings up the other side. Florida State did everything they could to give this game away. Early on, kicking a field goal on fourth and two, which is something that we're gonna talk about. Fourth and two from the 28, kicking a field goal with a kicker who's been not exactly entirely reliable from that range in practice for the last, since camp even. Kicking that. Then you have Travis Rudolph drop a sure touchdown pass that then results in a fourth down that then results in another missed field goal. So you got multiple missed field goals. You've got a defense that had multiple busts that allowed huge plays just without any real play being made, in terms of a quality. When you get beat as a defense, you want to get beat because the other guy made a great play and just beat you. You don't want to just give him freebies, and the defense gave up a number of freebies in this game. So neither of these teams seemed to want to win this game at one point in the contest, but ultimately North Carolina prevailed thanks to a somewhat miraculous 23 seconds, last 23 seconds, where they got the ball down in position to kick that long field goal. Just really a disastrous way to finish the game for Florida State on defense, and it brings up a lot of questions we've had all year in terms of the Florida State defense, in terms of the Florida State program and culture, and inability to finish, and all sorts of things that are brought back up because of the way that this game finished. That said, you can focus on the last 23 seconds as the reason that this team lost the game. But this team didn't really, that was only one factor. Yes, that was the last thing, and it's the most easily remembered thing about why this game had the result that it did. But North Carolina was up by 21 at one point in this game and should have won this game. You can't just focus on the last 23 seconds. You also have to look at, say, the four drives that the offense had in the first half. The first four drives that the offense had against a bad North Carolina defense that scored 0 points. And, people are coming in, this has been a point of discussion on my Twitter feed for a little while. And that's basically, you're going to blame the offense when they have almost 600 yards of total offense and 35 points for losing a game? This is all on the defense. No, it's not all on the defense, folks. It is not. People, it is not all on the defense. First of all, almost 600 yards, sure. But 184 of those yards on which you averaged 8 plus yards per play can basically be thrown out because they resulted in 0 points. Yards only matter in as much as they correlate with points, folks. If you don't score points, it doesn't matter how many yards you have. So that's, you know, let's say they had 600 yards. Subtract 184 from that, 185 yards. So now, they had a little over 400 yards. How impressive is that? Against that North Carolina defense? Not that great. And the thing is, that North Carolina offense is really good. Talk a little bit more about that in a second. You've got to understand that you're going to give up points to excellent offenses. You've got to score points against bad defenses. And you had both of those in this game, which means you've got to kind of adjust your thinking about what kind of score you're going to expect. If you're playing a top five offense and a bottom 50 defense, then you're going to expect the game to be a little higher scoring. Even if you have a really good defense, and Florida State has not had a really good defense so far this year. So that's why, again, those first four drives were, I think, as much or more responsible for the outcome, the final result, as that final drive in the last 23 seconds. Yeah, of course, you want the defense to be able to finish the game there, but the offense was as responsible as the defense for this team being down 21 points in the first half. And this is where Jimbo Fisher really has to adjust his thinking. He's going to have to adjust his thinking. The game has changed since Fisher played and since Fisher really, even since Fisher took over the head job at Florida State, the game has changed. Teams are more and more taking advantage of the RPO capacity in college football and the ability of offensive linemen to get 3 yards downfield and the way that teams push that envelope even. And Fisher addressed that in his press conference today, and he continues to be bitter about it. And yes, he and Saban and others continue to, you know, push for that rule to get changed. But Fisher even himself admitted in his Monday press conference he doesn't see that rule getting changed because people like it too much. Well, if that's the case, then you kind of have to adjust your thinking. Even if you're not going to use that as a core of your offense, which you don't have to, you might want to, but you don't have to if you've got other things that you think work just as well. But it then means you have to adjust your thinking in terms of how many points you're going to have to score to continue to be successful. It used to be, back in the 90s and early 2000s, it used to be that if you scored over 30 points, you could expect to win. You should expect to win. If you were a good program and you scored over 30 points, you should win all the time. Florida State, I remember, was something like 109-2 at one point through the 90s and early 2000s in games that they scored over 30 points. That's just not the way the game works anymore. Think about it. Alabama is the best defensive program in the country with a defensive head coach in Nick Saban. And through the first four games of the 2015 season, so through the last two seasons plus the first four games of the 2015 season, Alabama has had to score over 40 points to win five different times. Five. That's boggling. The best program, the best defensive program in the country, is having to score over 40 points five different times. They're averaging twice a year that they're going to have to score over 40 just to win the game. They're giving up that many points. So you've got to start adjusting. You have to adjust things up basically 10 points from how they used to be, that in order to be safe, instead of scoring 30 now, you have to score 40. That has to be the aiming point for top programs now. You can't come in and say, well, offensively, as long as we score 30 points, we should win the game. No, you have to say, as long as we score 40, we should win this game. And it's because the game has changed. The rules favor the offense too much. That doesn't mean you should always give up 40 points. No, good defenses will continue to hold teams under 40, even under 30. But when you're playing great offenses, sometimes you're going to give up plays. So you got to coach that way. You have to plan that way. You have to be willing then to play for touchdowns in cases. And I'm not sure Jimbo Fisher's still quite there in terms of understanding how critical that is and changing his mindset to play not for, you know, 30, 35 is the aiming point. You know, you always want to look at, okay, what's the magic number? How many do we need to score to win this game? And I think he's still operating with the 30, 35 point magic number, which a lot of Florida State fans still are. A lot of fans around the country still do. But that's not the threshold anymore, people. It just isn't. The game is different than when I played, than when Fisher played. It's different than it was even 5 years ago. Charlie Strong is a defensive coordinator, one of the best defensive coordinators in the country. He runs a defensive program, and Texas cannot give up anything less than half a hundred right now. Gary Patterson, one of the best defensive minds in college football at TCU, they just gave up over 50 this week. The game is different than it was even 5 years ago. You have to score points to win in this era, period. It's sort of like comparing NBA games, say, from the early 2000s, or let's say from now to the late 90s. And you're like, wow, teams are so much more skilled offensively. Did you watch NBA football, NBA basketball in the late 90s? If you went into the lane against some of those teams, you'd wind up coming out in traction. You'd wind up in the hospital. You can't do that now. The game is more offensively oriented. The rules changed. The same thing is true now in college football. The rules have changed. The way that people are manipulating and taking advantage of the rules has changed. And so you know you're going to have to score points. That's why, again, I think the mentality has to change for coaches early in games, especially, to think about how they're going to strategize, how they're going to make head coaching decisions. And I bring all this up because on Florida State's first drive, they averaged about 8 yards a carry. We're just pushing it down the North Carolina defense's throat exactly as you would expect. And then I think they had a penalty at one point, and that's another issue. The offense had a ridiculous number of penalties. I think they had over 12 penalties in this game, and you know that you just shoot yourself in the foot. And of course, yeah, you have 600 yards, but 184 of them don't count, and you got 150 yards in penalties. Well, now you're down to like 300 yards, right? But either way, they get on that first drive against a North Carolina defense that's just bad, and it's bad specifically against the run. And they get stuck on 4th and 2 from the 28-yard line, which means you got to kick a 45-yard field goal, 44-yard field goal, if you're going to take the field goal. That's not a gimme by any stretch, especially not a gimme for a true freshman kicker who has not been hitting it consistently from over 40 yards in practice and didn't hit it consistently from that range in pregame warmups. But even if you did have Roberto Aguayo there and you know that you're going to make that kick, here's the question. Is it the right decision to go for or to kick the field goal from the 28 on 4th and 2 against a defense that you're probably 80% plus likely to get the first down on 4th and 2 because they can't stop the run against anyone? Now, I'm going to give you another piece of information. You know that your defense isn't playing great football, that you don't have your best player on defense, and that you're playing one of the top 5 or so offenses in the country that's going to score points. What does that do now to your math? Do you still think that the right decision is to kick a field goal? I tweeted immediately after Florida State kicked that field goal and missed. I tweeted, well, was that stop enough for North Carolina to win this game? Hashtag shootout. And I think I was right. I was seriously, at that point, I was questioning whether or not that decision was ultimately going to be the difference in the game. And I think it was. So I'm not Monday morning quarterbacking this and thinking in terms of hindsight bias. That was what I was saying when it happened. You've got to go for that. You've got to play for touchdowns. And the thing is, you knew coming in you were going to need 40 plus to beat this UNC team. And thing is, North Carolina left 19 points on the field. So they could have scored well over 40 in this game. Florida State was lucky that they didn't. They should have scored at the end of the half, but they dropped an easy touchdown going into the end zone and then fumbled. Without that, it's 28-7, not 21-7 at the half. And then this game winds up not coming down to a final field goal. It winds up coming down to Florida State not having enough possessions to win in the second half, because Florida State scored on every possession in the second half and still only drew basically even. It would have been even had they not blocked an extra point. So that's the thing. They needed to score points in this game, and they should have known it. I mean, you think about my pregame prediction in this game was Florida State winning 45-42. And I said this was a really, really going to be a really close game. I mean, it was almost 50-50 coming into this game. I thought it was about a 45% chance of North Carolina winning this game because of how good their offense is. And I don't want to hear it from those of you who are out there going, oh, you're a UNC homer, or, oh, you're just hindsighting this because Florida State lost to them, and now you're going to say they have all this offensive talent. I said it before the game. This is part of my other job. I break down North Carolina stuff. I know what players they have. I can grade those guys. I know where they're going to go. Mitch Trubisky is likely to start at least one game as an NFL quarterback in the future. My guess is that he'll have at least one starting season as an NFL quarterback, and he has a chance to be a successful NFL starter. That's a big deal. Oh, and he's not the only guy. Mac Hollins is probably a top 3-round draft pick at the wide receiver position. Like I said, before the game, he's probably the fastest wide receiver Florida State will play this year, and he's 6'4". That doesn't even bring up their best wide receiver, though. Ryan Switzer, who killed Florida State in this game, is going to be a 10-year pro at least, and is probably going to be a Pro Bowler in the slot. One of the toughest covers in college football, and will be one of those guys that everybody wonders why he wound up being drafted in like the second round. Because he's smaller, but he'll end up getting drafted in probably the second round or so. Because he's smaller, and then he'll wind up going out and having 110 catches a year in like the Patriots offense and being a Pro Bowler for half a decade or more. And then you add his open field ability, and he's a rare guy. Then they got Bug Howard, another 6'4", 6'5" freak show receiver who's going to get a look on NFL rosters. Maybe not a draft pick, but probably, you know, might work his way into the 6th or 7th round depending on how he tests. And given his vertical numbers, you know, he's 6'4 with about a 40-inch vertical, he'll have a chance to get drafted. But he'll probably end up making a roster somewhere. So you got those are three NFL players that you got out wide. Then you got Elijah Hood, who's going to be a top 3, top 4 round draft pick at running back. You got TJ Logan, who's going to be a kick returner at least in the NFL, probably a third down back. NFL talent all over the field. You got an NFL draft pick at center. You got an NFL draft pick at guard. That offense has a lot of NFL talent. It's a top 5 in the country offense. You know they're going to score points even against a good defense. And so now you're going to kick on 4th and 2? That's where my complaint was in this game, was in not appreciating what you're up against and saying, you know what? I'm going to treat this like we're going to have to score 30 points. Even in the second half, those lengthy drives where it took 6 and 8 minutes off the clock, that had impact on Florida State not winning this game because they didn't have enough possessions to let their depth on offense in particular wear that team down. The defense actually managed to get things together. They forced 4 stops in this game, 3 of which were in the second half. They started to actually make a difference. They started to actually adjust a little bit in the second half. And the offense scored on all 4 possessions in the second half, but they only had 4 possessions in the second half. And why is that? Because they decided to go slow. At that point, you've got to say, we're behind, we need extra possessions, so this is a mentality issue for Florida State and Fisher and that group. They're gonna have to finally make the adjustment, finally concede to the direction that football has gone in the last 4 or 5 years, and be willing to do some of those things. So that's all really my more general critique. Now, I want to get then into a little bit more specifics, a few more specifics in terms of offense and defense here. And I'm actually going to start with the offense because everybody knows that this defense has been a problem all year. Everybody knows that the Florida State defense has not been very good. They're like 124th right now in yards per play, which is awful. But we'll address that in a second. I want to talk about the offense first, because that's the thing that people are not focusing on. And the offense is every bit as responsible for both losses that Florida State has had as the defense. And you go, what? The defense gave up 63 points against Louisville. They gave up 31 in the first half against Louisville. You can't win if you're giving up 31 points and a half against a team. Well, you might be right. But one of the reasons you give up 31 points is because the offense doesn't move the ball. No, the offense doesn't give up the points, but it gives up field position. It makes things easier. It changes momentum. And here's the thing. First half against Ole Miss, Louisville, and UNC. That's three of the top seven offenses in the country, according to S&P Plus. Florida State scored against those three teams where you know you're going to need to score points to beat those teams because of the quality of their offenses. Florida State in the first half scored 13, 10, and 7 against Ole Miss, Louisville, and UNC. That's not getting it done, folks. That's not getting it done. And you say, well, you know, you just got to hold them to fewer points. Ole Miss scored 43 on Alabama. Florida State held them to 34. And 5 and change yards per play. Bama gave up over 7 yards per play and 43 points to the same Ole Miss offense. Ole Miss scored 45 on Georgia. That's a really good Georgia defense. They scored 48 on a very good Memphis defense. They're very good for a Power 5 team, or for a Group of 5 team. So they scored 43 on Bama, 45 on UGA, and 48 on Memphis. Florida State, of their FBS opponents, has held them to their lowest point in yard per play totals so far this year. Now, that was the only game that Florida State played with Derwin James, which makes a huge difference. I think if this Florida State defense played Ole Miss, they'd have probably given up 48 instead of 34. But bottom line is, that's a really good Ole Miss team, and you know you're going to have to score in the 40s to win that game. And Florida State did. They won that game because they scored in the 40s, because they had a huge second half after scoring only 13 in the first half. And really, that was only 6 until that last-minute drive at the end of the first half. That's not getting it done. Then they score 10 in the first half against Louisville. Guys, that's not getting it done. You're not going to beat Louisville with 20 points. Clemson has a top-5 defense in the country. And they gave up almost 600 yards and 36 points to Louisville. 567 yards and 36 points to Louisville. And they gave up 26 in the second half, which is almost what Florida State's offense or defense gave up in the first half to Louisville. And that's after a turnover took place. And Florida State also gave up special teams a long punt return nearly for a touchdown and a punt return for a touchdown. So that's another 14 points that doesn't even go on the defense out of Florida State's that goes on to the 63. So really, Florida State's defense gave up 49. Well, I mean, a top five defense in the country gave up 36 to Louisville. Now, Clemson, by contrast, scored 42 to win the game. Florida State scored 20 by kicking a field goal at the end of the game. If you're going to beat these teams with these elite offenses, your offense has to be good enough to at least score points. So the defense at Florida State this year has been average to bad. I'd say actually it's been closer to average, but at times really bad. But the offense hasn't given it any, to use a baseball metaphor, hasn't given it any run support, especially early in games. And yes, it does matter when points are scored. It's extra strain on the defense and on the offense. It changes momentum. If you score points, it changes momentum. The defense feeds off of that stuff. It affects the calls that you can make on both sides. It affects what opposing offenses can call against you on defense when your offense is putting up points. Listen, I keep hearing people say, well, defense wins championships. No, it doesn't. Defense does not win championships. Otherwise, the best defensive teams in the country would always win, and that doesn't happen. The best defense in the ACC last year was Boston College, and they went 0-8 in the ACC, people. 0-8. It was the best defense in the conference. One of the three best in the country. Went 0-8 in conference. Defense doesn't win championships. It just doesn't. Complete teams win championships. Teams that are good on defense, offense, and special teams win championships. You have to be good in all three phases to win championships. Well, what about, you know, Bama doesn't have great quarterbacks when they win. Yeah, well, they've got, you know, AJ McCarron. They won a couple titles with him. He's playing in the NFL, people. He's not a bad quarterback. Game manager does not mean you're a bad quarterback. It means you're a good one. May mean that you're more physically limited than some others, but it means you're still a good quarterback. You need to have good quarterback play. You need to have a reliable offensive output. You've got to be able to score points to win games, and you've got to be able to limit points to win games, and you've got to be able to protect field position and all of that in the kicking game and in special teams to win championships. So let's stop it with the, well, we just need a better defense. No, the fact is that the whole team, the whole Florida State team right now needs to get better. And defensively, you know, I covered a lot of stuff already in terms of what Florida State was doing, has done. They do need to get better. The defense, opponent adjusted, is 79th in the country, I believe. That's not good enough, especially given the levels of talent on the Florida State defense. Now, of course, you got people out there, they're calling for things, they're parroting, and really they're mostly parroting Bud Elliott. And Bud was right on certain things when he was saying Florida State needed to simplify, especially on defense. Bud was right when he said FSU needed to simplify back when we were talking about things at the time of Louisville. The team was overwhelmed at that time with too much. There was too much going on, and they asked them to do a little bit too much against Louisville, and you got the results that you got. Yeah, they needed to simplify. But stop parroting and actually start evaluating. Actually, first learn a little bit and then start evaluating. Because right now, simplifying things is not the solution because they already did it. That already happened, folks. We talked about it last week on this podcast. You could see it against USF. They pretty dramatically simplified what they were doing on defense. They did the opposite of what Bud Elliott said they needed to do on offense. Bud was calling for them to get more diverse on offense. My sources were saying exactly the opposite. My eyes were saying the opposite, that they needed to get less diverse on offense in terms of the running game, because that was where the majority of the complexity is and has been in Jimbo Fisher's offense, is up front, and the offensive line was struggling to deal with their assignments and wasn't able to play physical because they were constantly thinking. And Florida State made the right choice there. They got simpler up front on offense as well. So they simplified on defense, and they got simpler up front. You could see the results the last couple weeks on the offensive line. They've played much better. They dominated North Carolina up front on the offensive line. And the defense is much simpler than what they were running before. So at that point, you can't further simplify. You really can't simplify things further than what they have defensively. You can't. It's already simple, people. They're already running base. So at that point, and the other thing is, the scheme is not the problem. Jimbo Fisher's right. The scheme is not the problem. They're running sound schemes. The schemes are sound. So then what? Well, the problems are the loss of focus that you see at times, where the defense some guys just at times look disinterested. Lack of discipline, guys jumping in the wrong gap or, you know, following motion with their eyes and their feet instead of playing where they're supposed to be. And then there's lack of effort. I mean, heck, look at the last North Carolina touchdown. I counted at least six loafs that if I were breaking that down as a quality control assistant or a GA or whatever, I would have assigned at least six loafs on that play, maybe 8 out of 11. A majority of the defense loafed on that play. That's a lack of effort is what loaf stands for. More than half of the 11 defensive players on the field loafed on North Carolina's final touchdown. That's on the last drive. The last touchdown drive, it's in a drive, a crucial drive for UNC to tie the game, to go ahead. It's on a crucial drive in the fourth quarter for North Carolina to go ahead in the fourth quarter. And you've got guys loafing then? Well, there's your problem. So when you've got that happening on game day, I can tell you you're going to have loafs and lack of focus and discipline and all that during the week. That's the problem. So what are the fixes? Well, number one, you got to fix that. That's a culture thing. You've got to figure out how you can get guys to run to the football and not just, oh, well, somebody else is going to make that tackle there. Go back through this tape and look at how many times Florida State's tackling one-on-one in the open field instead of having gang tackles and instead of having guys running to the ball, doing everything they can to get an extra hit in or to try to strip the football and gang tackle and work angles so that it's easier to tackle in space. You don't see that. You don't see this team running to the ball that way. That's the number one thing they've got to fix. It's just a hunger thing on defense. And, you know, Mickey Andrews used to say that, you know, 75%, I think that was what the number he put to it, but 75% of tackling, of defense, is just want to. You know, the other parts are technique and so on, and I don't think the technique is all that bad. But the problem is the want to, and you can't coach that to a certain extent. You have to get these guys to hold each other accountable. So paradoxically, the interesting thing is right now is when you, if you're a coach, your instinct would be to just tear into these guys and rip into them and tear them down and you know, explain how frustrated you are. But I think that's exactly the opposite of what you've got to do as a coaching staff right now. This defense has played the number one, number four, number seven, and number 15 offenses in the country so far. And all but the number four offense without the best player on the Florida State team. That's Derwin James. And right now, they're a pretty shaken group. Their confidence is shaken. And rightly so, because they've been getting themselves killed. What you've got to do is you've got to, this is the paradox if you're coaching this. One of the things I would really be trying to do if I were coaching is you've got to keep things positive and fun, and you've got to make sure that this team stays bought in or gets re-bought in about what you're doing. And you've got to encourage them to hold each other accountable to do that stuff. I mean, this group is just shaken because every mistake, I mean, even small mistakes, when you're playing against future NFL quarterbacks or against Lamar Jackson, small mistakes get punished heavily. And this team is this defensive team, you can see the frustration where it's like, well, geez, you know, make one little mistake and all of a sudden they're running free. Against most offenses, those mistakes don't get exposed. Against the offenses Florida State's been playing, those mistakes and some of the bigger mistakes have all been exposed over and over and over and over again. And so you start to lose confidence, and you have to play defense with a chip on your shoulder and with and you know, having some fun and really trying to hurt the guy across from you, for the lack of a better way to put it. So you got to emphasize that first and foremost. And I know that doesn't sound like it's a solution, but it really is the first place to start. Now, in order to help, you know, push that kind of mentality, one of the things I would do is I would press more on the corners. I think you've got length, you've got guys that you've got to just trust to cover. And listen, you might give up some big plays as, you know, they miss in press or they let a guy behind him or whatever. But it's not like that's not already happening with busts. Just let him press and see if maybe getting physical with receivers helps produce what you want in terms of the overall presence. And I think you also have to rotate a little bit more. You got to get some fresh bodies in there. You know, the old Florida State teams would rotate like every three or four plays. And yes, I know against hurry up, no huddle teams, you get less opportunity to sub. But I think you got to take those opportunities and sub more than this team has the last couple years, particularly up front. You got to sub and you got to continue to rotate guys. And no, you know, I had people suggesting on my Twitter feed, they need to go to 4-3. You know, screw this 4-2-5. Kelly can't teach it. Guys, first of all, the 4-2-5 is schematically identical to a 4-3. It's coached exactly the same way. The assignments are exactly the same as with a 4-3. It's no different. The only difference is personnel. And they're playing spread teams with 3 and 4 wide receivers. If you go to a 4-3 with that, you're an idiot. It's just stupid. Like, wait, they're killing us with speed and spreading us out wide. Let's put slower guys on the field. That's not going to work, guys. Got to stick with it. Got to stick with what you're doing here. Now, they do have to figure out the star position. The star position has been a disaster so far. Listen, Lewis is a good cover guy. He's been, when he's been in single coverage, when he's been in one-on-one coverage, and he's been asked to play man at the star position, he's been fine. He's been good. But when he's been asked to do other stuff, he's been out of position regularly. So at that point, you kind of have to wonder what you got to do with that star position. Maybe you move some guys around. One thing that I would think of is maybe you put Trey Marshall at star, where he's played before and played successfully. Problem is, he's not a great cover guy. But maybe you put Trey Marshall at star and someone else, maybe even Lewis at safety. Maybe you move those guys depending on what the call's going to be. But you got to figure out the star position. And frankly, the safeties and linebackers haven't been a whole lot better. But you got to figure those out. And the thing is, when you're weak in all those positions up the middle, it just, you know, it's like an accelerant. It gets worse and worse and worse. But you've got to continue to do. You've got to continue to put those pieces and move those pieces around and maybe find a place where they can play with a little bit more confidence and a little bit more scheme, a little bit more assignment integrity. And then beyond that, you've just got to hold out until Derwin's return. And frankly, the crazy thing is, it sounds absurd to say this, that one guy could be worth this much. But I seriously wonder whether or not against the teams that Florida State has played, whether or not Derwin James is worth about 14 points a game to Florida State's defense against those teams, against Louisville, against UNC. I think against UNC with Derwin James, they probably give up under 30. It's just crazy to say that one guy could make that big of a difference, but he's that good. He's your best safety. He's your best linebacker and he's your best pass rusher. And you can use all of those things at different points to make your defense better. And the defense has happened to lack in all of those three areas at different points. And, you know, again, you look at Ole Miss, they held them to 34. I don't think they hold them under 40. I think they probably score 48 or so without Derwin because Derwin had an interception. Look at all the one-on-one tackles he had against Ole Miss. That guy cleaned up so many messes against Ole Miss that you wonder, is that guy worth two scores to Florida State's defense? It's crazy, but it may be true. Otherwise, offensively, I think the offense just needs to continue to do what they're doing schematically. I'd like them to play with a little bit more pace. More possessions are better for this kind of team. The offensive line played well against North Carolina. Continue to stay base and continue to let them be physical. They're fine. Francois's growing. He's inconsistent, but he's growing. You can see the growth week to week. Cook continues to show that he's basically the same player he was last year now. I think Jacquez Patrick, I actually would like to see them use him more in short yardage. But, you know, he's continued to earn the role that he's playing and continued to earn carries. But I think I'd like to see him a little bit more specialized when it's third and two, put him in. We saw Keith Gavin in this game for the first time. Continue to work him into things because he is the most talented receiver on this roster. And Frank, one of the best things about this game was Maven Saunders. This was Maven Saunders' breakout game. He's finally showing the promise that or showing some of the payoff to the promise that he had when he was recruited. One of the best athletes on the team. Just really, really football raw when he got to Florida State. And I think you got to continue to run Francois, even though, you know, Fisher talked in his Monday press conference about his concerns about injury there. You know, at some point, Fisher knows that it changes the numbers, and he's used that in the past, particularly when he's had a little depth at quarterback. Well, he needs to just be willing to go ahead and bite the bullet and do it with Francois. It's just, you don't have a choice. Not in today's era. You got to score points. Finally, in terms of long-term questions, there's a lot of people out there asking a lot of questions about the long-term future of this program, of the Florida State program, specifically what happens with the coaching staff. I don't think, listen, no changes are going to get made during the season. I'd be shocked if any changes happen during the season. Notre Dame, and also we shouldn't want changes to be made before the end of the year. Think about this. Notre Dame changed. They fired Brian Van Gorder and then promptly gave up a ton of yards and points to Syracuse. Changing the defensive play caller made pretty much no difference. Texas has changed their coordinator situation and all this stuff basically by the week, and they keep giving up half a hundred. Listen, you are who you are schematically and all of that by this point. You can't teach a new defense. You can't just go out and bring a new defensive coordinator in and it's like downloading a new Madden playbook. You can't do it. It's not how it works. You can't teach a new defense or new techniques at this point. You just have to get more sound at what you do. So for the interim, for the rest of this season, it's film, practice, rinse, repeat. Film, practice, rinse, repeat. Film, practice, rinse, repeat. It's the only way you're going to get better, that and getting Derwin James back. After the year, be interesting to see what happens. I don't expect the status quo to hold exactly. I'm not sure that Kelly will be asked to leave entirely, though. I do think Bill Miller, the linebackers coach, and the linebackers have not played well the last couple years. And at this point, there's no personnel excuses. They've got some guys that should be playing well in there. I think Bill Miller's probably at least is going to be a guy that's going to step down. And I wouldn't be surprised if at the end of the day, Kelly moved back to coaching linebackers and they brought in a defensive backs guy and Kelly continued to call the defense, or maybe he had some help with that. Scheme is not the problem, folks. Some of the teaching at some of these positions seems to be the issue. Some of the calls might be. They might need some input in terms of what calls get made on Saturday. But the scheme isn't the problem. They do need, I think, some changes there. It'll be interesting to see what they do. Like I said, I wouldn't be surprised to see some movement rather than just wholesale changes in terms of just letting guys go or whatever. But that's sort of where I'm thinking things will wind up. I that's just speculation on my part. I don't have any inside information, and nobody does at this point. Fisher's not going to talk. Other than that, I mean, going into this week, I do think Miami is a better matchup for this defense without Derwin than the others have been so far. Miami does not have the depth of talent, the depth of NFL talent around them. And this is so strange to say, but Miami does not have the depth of NFL talent around Brad Kaya, who's also an NFL quarterback, that Mitch Trubisky brought to town this last week. I said going into that game, I thought UNC was the next most likely loss on Florida State's schedule other than Clemson. And, you know, that was a really close game. I do think Florida State will probably have a better shot to beat Miami, even at Miami, than they had against UNC on their home field. And we'll see if they're able to get focused and play physical in that game. But we'll get to more analysis of the Miami game in the next podcast. That's going to do it for us today for this one. Before we get out of here, just a reminder that if you are enjoying this podcast, please rate us on iTunes. 5-star ratings help a bunch. Definitely share our podcast. Share this episode on social media with your Florida State friends. Helps us a bunch. You can also make sure to catch our next podcast, which will cover the Miami game. I'm Jason Staples. This has been the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio of eSporto Channel. Thanks for listening. I made this.